Coming up today, Pastor Ray Bentley prepares us for eternity.
Heaven has rules, and the desire of every resident of heaven is to walk in these rules because they bring the greatest joy and the greatest glory, world without end. Now, having said that, you and I are to be in the process of getting used to what it's like living as citizens of heaven.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. If we're about to relocate, we want to know what life will be like in our new home. What can we expect? How can we adapt? Well, today, Pastor Ray helps us begin preparing ourselves for life in eternity. We'll get some snapshots of heaven, and we'll learn how we can begin preparing here for the hereafter.
If you would open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, we're going to go through the first five verses because it's so rich. And there's so much in the first five verses. But then you can read the rest on your own as Moses goes on to bless each one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember that Deuteronomy, basically, you know, you have the children of Israel through Moses. They left Egypt. They went into the wilderness. And then because of a lack of faith, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So we are now in the last month of the 40th year. That's the book of Deuteronomy, is about 30, it covers 30 days. Literally, Moses is just a few weeks away from climbing a mountain and dying and the Lord burying him. But before he goes, he gives this last great speech, exhortation to the new generation that had all been born during the last 40 years, to their parents, who, you know, died in the wilderness, but now the new young generation are going to be the ones who now cross the Jordan River and who literally put their feet on, finally, the promised land given centuries earlier to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and will possess the land, bring down the giants, and establish the fulfillment of what God's purpose and plan in the promised land. Okay, so I have four what I call life lessons, or basically, these are kind of the application points. And I want to just say very, you know, briefly here, we are not just studying about what God said and did with ancient people thousands of years ago. Although it's true, God did say this, and it does deal with ancient people, Moses, the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, and all of that. So that's true on one level, but there's another level where whenever God speaks, his word lives. It's alive. In other words, what he said then is still true today. And what he spoke to his children and followers then is still applicable today. So everything that we're reading is a living, fiery, burning word that can speak to us for our situation, our generation, and our time. So here's the first application then of what God did then, but what's also true for us. Through God's promises, we become, and by believing in them, trusting in them, etc., we become partakers of the divine nature. I want you to write down that word, nature. So let me read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll go back and I'll just focus on a few of the verses out of the first five. Verse 1 says, "Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them." Yes, he loves the people. "All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun, where the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. And then he goes on to say, let Reuben live. And he begins blessing each of the tribes of Israel. The final exhortation, encouragement, as they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. So again, going back to verse 1. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. God wants to bring a blessing to us, this generation of believers and followers in him. As Moses now looks back over his glorious, and I might add, supernatural life, the one scene which gripped his memory more than any other was the revelation of God's glory on Mount Sinai and the giving of the Word of God, or the Ten Commandments. I just want to say that, from before that time, let's put it this way. In the Garden of Eden, God was visible to Adam and Eve. You could see God. That is to be normal. That was meant from the beginning to be normal. The fact that we don't see God in physical manifestation is not natural. It's aberrant. It is what shows us we need to be redeemed, restored, and brought back into what is right. But during the days of Moses, because of God's love for humanity, God found a man that he could communicate with, and he could talk to him like a man speaks with his friend face to face. And that man, the man of God, was Moses. And God left heaven and came down through the universe to this one tiny little speck of the planet Earth because of his tremendous love for human beings whom he had made in his own image and after his own likeness. And so it was like a cloud, but it was not a cloud. I want you to note this, that embedded in the natural realm are pictures of the supernatural. So clouds are not just, something that God made, without any meaning or purpose. It's like when God revealed himself, it was like a cloud, but it wasn't a cloud. Inside of that cloud were the sounds of tremendous rumbling, shaking like an earthquake, and thunder. But it was more than thunder. When you one day get to heaven, and when God speaks, and his voice, the creator of the universe, reverberates through his vast kingdom and before his throne, heaven will shake. And you go, wow, that's like thunder, but that's like no thunder I ever knew. And there will be flashes of light, his Shekinah glory, that are like lightning. In other words, many of the things in heaven will be familiar because he embedded first the natural and then the spiritual. You know what that means? Everything in nature has meaning. It's a window, it's a picture, it's something, it's a lesson that we can learn from. But when God came and revealed himself from heaven, he let humanity actually see, there's God. 2 million Jewish people could see, there's God. And they were afraid, they didn't even want to go near the mountain. But God, called Moses, and Moses was the man who had the courage to enter the thick cloud where the thunder and the lightning, and there was also this tremendous noise that literally we find out later is the sound of the wings of millions of angels, because wherever God goes, the angels go. Moses had courage beyond any of us would ever know, because it says Moses went into the cloud of thick darkness where God was. That was a bold guy who went into the cloud in the presence of God, and God revealed himself, and God gave the commandments, and God gave the law, but he also told Moses, I'm paraphrasing, I love humanity. I want to reveal myself to humanity. I want to bring it back to the way it was in the beginning. But I'm not satisfied being way up here on the mountain and letting them see me way down there. God told Moses, I want to come down even further. I want to come down to the desert floor. He goes, and I am going to come down. But before I come from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the mountain, and I want to dwell right in the middle of the nations of Israel. But you got to build me a place. And then God showed supernaturally Moses the throne of God in heaven in that mysterious cloud of thunder, lightning, glory, and the rumbling of his presence. It's fascinating, beautiful. And God said, now, When you go back down, you find skilled craftsmen and you instruct them. You build exactly everything you see and don't deviate, don't ad lib, don't add anything, don't take away from anything. It has to, it's not a facsimile, it has to look exactly like what you saw here. Because what I'm showing you, Moses, is the throne of heaven and the glory of heaven. And when you make a house that looks in the natural realm like that, then my spirit will come down and I will fill it with my glory, which God did. And then the tribes of Israel, three camped, you know, so it was in the center of the tabernacle, three to the north, three to the east, three to the south, three to the west, and God was right in the midst of them. It was a wonderful and a beautiful thing. Psalm 90, verse 1, if you want to write down that verse, I didn't have room in your notes because I want, you know, I give you kind of the highlights of my notes. If I gave you everything, you wouldn't have room to write anything. But Psalm 90, verse 1 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Well, did you know the word dwelling place can also mean environment? God, you are our environment. And so in a way, truly Moses, when he entered into the cloud, he entered into the environment of God. When God came down the mountain and was in the tabernacle and manifest his glory burning through the animal skins, they could see the light of the glory of God. It was a cloud by day and it was a pillar of fire by night. Every day for 40 years, all of Israel could see God. They were in the environment of God. But what I want to share with you is that you and I, who are now believers in Jesus Christ and members of his bride, the church, we have something better than Moses. We have something greater than even the 2 million and the 12 tribes of Israel had in the wilderness. Because it's not just that we're in the environment of God, but now through the Holy Spirit, the very environment of heaven and the throne of God and the glory of God and the environment of God has come to dwell inside of us as believers. Now, that's true of all believers. If I could go like that and open your eyes for a minute so that you could see in the Spirit, every believer who is here, you would see the glory of God, you would see light, you would see the Holy Spirit, you would see the Shekinah and burning and shining through them. Now, God is in all of his children. But just like when, you know, God is in, he's everywhere. God is, one of the attributes of God is he's omnipresent. It's not that God is in the universe. It's more accurate that the universe is in God. God's bigger. In fact, he says he spans the universe with his right hand. It's only that big to him. He's huge, so he's everywhere. But what is the cloud? That's the manifest presence of God. What was the tabernacle and the burning glory there? The manifest presence of God. God is everywhere because he is a spirit, but he's not manifest everywhere. So what I want to say to you and me is that though as God's children, his environment and the glory of the Lord is in all of us, not all of us are experiencing the manifest glory of God. Or let's put it another way, you could experience a greater manifestation of his glory, of his power, of his presence. I believe that not only was Moses' life to be supernatural, but even more so, those who are in the new covenant, it's normal to live a supernatural life. And God has more for you and for me than we could have ever dreamed. So read with me 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 that's in your notes. Let's read this out loud together. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. In your notes, circle the word promises or precious promises. In other words, if you want to experience a greater degree of the manifest presence of God, it comes through his word. There are some Christians, they hear the gospel, they get saved, they go to church, and they go, wow, that's cool. The pastor, he studies all week long, and the Bible's hard to understand, and so I go and I listen to him and I learn some things, and I can live that. And then they wait a week to hear from the Bible again. That's kind of like being a baby Christian. There's a point at which you grow to where you don't have to wait till the next Sunday. You are encouraged. In fact, God treats you as his sons and daughters. You can read the word for yourself. You can actually study the Bible. And it's not only you read it, but then you start learning about it. You dig deeper for yourself. And God begins speaking to you personally, not just at church on Sunday or through a Bible study or some tape or CD or on the radio, but you personally begin developing a personal relationship with God through his word and the promises. And then, so as I mentioned, there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. You read one and all of a sudden it kind of lights up to you and it burns something precious in your heart and you're like, wow, Lord, I feel like you're speaking this to me. Yes. God loves to take his word and make it alive to you. It's a promise for you to say, Lord, I claim this promise for this week, for my life, for my marriage, for my children, my family, my career, my life. I claim it, I live it. So through the precious promises of God, we experience the manifest presence of God. Number two, through prayer. By not only, praying, but entering into the presence of the Lord, sitting before the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, listening to the Lord, letting him open your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears. In fact, in the New Testament, you can find all of the five senses are referred to as being able to have you have spiritual eyes that you can see spiritual things with, spiritual ears that you can hear divine truths. It speaks of even the fragrance of Christ, feeling the presence of the Lord that burns within us. All of these are marvelous and wonderful things that can be given to us. So God's spirit was moving, vibrating, hovering over the chaos below. That's how the Holy Spirit hovers. Literally, wherever you go as a child of God, you are surrounded by the hovering, moving, shaking, powerful, supernatural Holy Spirit. But then when the word of God came, because as it was hovering over the darkness, then God said, now let there be light. And there was light. So as the spirit hovers over us, when we connect with the word of God and it creates in us his divine presence, his will, we grow in character. So the word of God and through prayer, we experience more of his divine presence, this glorious divine nature within us. Okay, let's go to number two. The second lesson we learn, we're gonna get this from verse two, is this. We are members, here's what we learn. We are members of a holy kingdom, a holy kingdom. Chapter 33, verse 2, it says, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. So I want to say this. God came down, and he came down from his throne in heaven to the earth. And so I want you to know that heaven is for real. Heaven is real. There is a real city called the New Jerusalem. There are real 12 gates in and out of heaven, let alone beyond the rest of creation, inside of which are real abodes, mansions, dwelling places where people live and where they experience this realm. Also, we note that heaven is organized. Heaven has substance to it. Heaven has rules. It has laws. And every rule that comes from the mouth of God is designed for you and I to experience to the nth degree ultimate love, ultimate happiness, ultimate peace, ultimate joy. And the burning, whirring desire of every resident of heaven is to walk in these rules because they bring the greatest joy and the greatest love and the greatest peace and the greatest unity and the greatest glory, world without end. Hallelujah. In other words, it is a real kingdom. Heaven is a real place and a real kingdom. Now, having said that, you and I are to be in the process now on earth of getting used to what it's like living as citizens of heaven. We're not to just do our own thing here, believe in Jesus, and then we go start living in heaven. We're to start acting like citizens of heaven right here, right now. One of the things that is interesting in heaven that really has brought conviction to me lately is something that Jesus said that's true in heaven. Do you remember where Jesus said, "Watch what you say. Be careful the words that come out of your mouth." And here's why. He said, because one day when you stand before the Lord, you and I will give an account for every idle word that you've ever said in your life. In other words, listen to this. In heaven, idle words are illegal. And not only that, not one angel or one saint or one cherubim or one seraphim says an idle word in heaven. That's why it's heaven. So as I was thinking about it, you know, the Lord is saying to us, you know, when I said that, I meant what I said. If you're going to speak out of your own, and basically it was like the Lord was saying, you guys talk too much. You say too much. You give a lot of idle opinions, thoughts, feelings, attitudes, criticism, judgments. Well, you know what I think? Blah, 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 blah. Idle goes out. And the Lord's saying, zip it. I don't know that the Lord would say zip it, but that's my... He's saying, don't say it. Better don't say it. I think we say too many... We give our opinion too much. We just think, say what we... You know, just idle. We fill it up, and it's often hurtful, critical, wounding. It's illegal in heaven. Well, you're a citizen of heaven now. We better get used to what it's like in heaven. So... make sure every word that proceeds from your mouth is edifying, encouraging, comforting, of the Spirit and of the Lord, and not just idle talk.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good encouragement to begin practicing as citizens right here and now. Glad you're joining us for our studies in Deuteronomy here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Then a King Arose. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, it's called Then a King Arose. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you the Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.